Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Mary Naden, an Alexander Technique teacher as well as a voice, speech, and presentation coach who lives in Tacoma Park, Maryland, which is right outside of Washington, D.C. And we're going to talk today about how the Alexander Technique can help speakers and presenters and how it fits in with the work that she does. Mary, welcome to the show.
Hi there, Robert. Nice to be here.
Good to have you on the show. Could you begin by giving our listeners a short description of the Alexander Technique?
Sure. I knew this was going to be a test, so I thought about this just a little bit. Well, the really short version is I think the Alexander Technique is a way of thinking and thinking through your body to give it a sense of presence and ease and freedom.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good. And We should maybe just say that it is a hands-on teaching method. Teachers use their hands as well as words to use their hands to guide students.
Absolutely. And of course, the hands-on part is part of helping students to think.
Exactly. And the emphasis is always on students taking responsibility for themselves.
I mean, yes.
It's a self-help method. We are teachers, not therapists. So I think I need to also ask you to give a short description of what a presentation, a voice, speech, and presentation coach does.
Sure. Well, I'll give you a little background because about how I sort of came into this, because I was an actor. I started out life as an actor. And I found that all of my major creative breakthroughs when I was in graduate school, getting my MFA, really came through the voice work, which was a tradition that was handed down to my teacher from Kristen Linklater. She's one of the, you know, the best teachers in the known universe.
Mm-hmm.
And her work was, I think, really groundbreaking because it was so whole person and body based. So I think that the Alexander Technique is really woven into the fabric of her teaching, and therefore, you know, all of her teachers' teachings as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of there. Okay, mm-hmm. So coming back to this. So what do I do? So there I was as an actor, finding out that, you know, that really freeing my voice really freed all sorts of other creative impulses, and it kept me very open and free and able to not experience vocal strain in performing situations. And then, so I wanted to teach it because I thought it was so great that I wanted to figure out how to do it so I could give it to others because it worked so well for me. So I did. I became a teacher, and for a long time I taught really just actors. And that seemed a little bit stingy because I think the work is so great for everybody. You know, it isn't just actors that have vocal problems. It isn't just actors that feel that their voice doesn't really represent who they are. And so I expanded into, you know, the world of anybody who really needs to speak in the public arena, mm-hmm. or even just interpersonally.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that work really rewarding because there's lots and lots of people out there that, you know, really want to find their voices,
mm-hmm.
and haven't.
Mm-hmm. Well, they say that, or I've heard it said that fear of public speaking is one of the deepest fears that many people have.
You know, I think so. I think I actually read a statistic somewhere that more people are afraid of public speaking than they are of their own death.
Boy, that's saying a lot, isn't it?
I don't know if it's true. I'm not going to put that in print, but, you know, that's what I had read or heard at some point. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's one of the things that I address is just fear of public speaking, and then also just how to, you know, how to really represent yourself best through your voice. So your voice mm-hmm. is part of your body,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, along the way in life, and this is going to sound really familiar when I start talking to, you know, you as an Alexander teacher, along the way, we lose that connection.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have an idea that their voice is really a product of their heads and their necks, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
And the truth is that, your entire body is involved. I had a singing teacher when I was on my training course in England many years ago. I had a singing teacher who was not an Alexander teacher, but she was very versed in the technique. And the first thing she said to me was, "You're not singing with your whole body." She said, "Here, put your hands on my feet and I'm going to sing." And sure enough, wow, there was movement there. So, so, and of course that ties in with basic Alexander technique concepts pretty directly. Maybe then you could, if we could go on to specifically how, let's say, you incorporate the technique, or maybe more generally the usefulness of the Alexander technique for people who speak for a living or have to speak, maybe not for a living, but just from time to time.
Sure.
And have some anxiety about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, as I said, I mean, my belief is that the Alexander technique is absolutely woven into the fabric of at least the kind of voice work that I do, which is really based on Kristen Linklater's stuff. It is whole body. Alexander technique, maybe the way that it departs a little bit from the voice technique per se, from Linklater technique, is that we're really using consciousness a lot more. We're really using thinking all the time, really. Mm-hmm. So did I go off on a tangent?
No,
there?
I mean, that's okay. What Alexander teachers do. We teach people how to think about themselves in movement and posture and so on.
Yeah. So I think maybe the way this you know, ties together is that the technique, the Alexander technique, gives us a way to open up the conduits in our body by being conscious about it, by allowing ourselves some ease, some expansion, so that when we're putting thought, you know, a thought on our breath, which is what communication starts as, right? Mm-hmm. It's got a conduit. It's got somewhere to, you know, it's got some way to move.
Mm-hmm. And maybe you could elaborate a little on that word allowing that you just used. I think that's a pretty key word when talking about the Alexander process.
Darn, did I say allowing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Yes, you did.
Okay. Allowing.
Well, getting out of the way would be, I guess, the way Alexander teachers tend to talk about it, getting out of our own way, so that if we have some sort of a, let's say, a speech issue, it's not so much that we need to learn new things. And there may be some new things we need to learn, but a lot of what we need to do is discover what we're doing that inadvertently that's getting in the way, that's blocking our movements, our voice, our breathing, whatever, restricting them. And just letting go of those.
Yeah, so let's call those habits.
Those
are habits that we picked up somewhere along life that we weren't born with. They're, you know, they're not inherent. So so we have to kind of strip away the non-essential to get to essentially what we need to keep ourselves upright, to keep our breathing happening.
Maybe even more than non-essential, harmful.
Harmful.
Often harmful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of habits that we acquire are harmful or just not efficient. Mm-hmm. You know, how about that? Yeah, they're harmful, but harmful is a really loaded word, but not efficient. And why would we want to do anything in a way that, you know, takes a lot more work than we really need to apply to it? That seems kind of at cross purposes for, you know, how we want to lead our lives.
Mm-hmm. So when you work with people as a presentation coach, do you bring Alexander processes into that, or do you keep them separate as a separate thing? Maybe you should come for an Alexander lesson. How do you do that?
Yeah, that's such a good question because, you know, over my training period, which has been recent, you know, I'm a fairly newly minted Alexander technique teacher, but I've been teaching voice for 25 years. Mm-hmm. So you know, during the course of my training, the Alexander technique started to kind of seep in to what I was doing with my students. And so now, yeah, there are, you know, I see two two kinds of students. One really was to come, you know, to do their presentations, and that's okay. And other people want to do the Alexander technique because maybe they have, you know, pain issues or, you know, repetitive stress injuries or something like that. But a lot of times there is that middle ground where, you know, you can see that it's that the technique is really useful, even if someone thinks they're coming just for, you know, for a voice lesson in how to stand in front of an audience. Well, you know, pretty quickly when you observe somebody and you know, you see where their habits are interfering, I want to address that. And so, yeah, I do use the Alexander technique in conjunction with all of the other, you know, voice work and then the exercises and the stuff that I do with my voice students. It's really hard not to it's really hard to notice interfering habits and not to, you know, want to help them in that process of changing those. And I think the Alexander technique is wonderful for that sort of issue.
Right. Well, I mean, for example, if you have someone who's come to you for vocal lessons, mm-hmm. and you see that the minute they start to speak, they shorten their neck, or they scrunch their chest in, or whatever.
Yeah.
As an Alexander teacher, you're kind of, you look at that and you say, well, I could teach this person all kinds of vocal skills till the cows come home, but unless they deal with that, they're never going to really get their full voice.
Exactly. So, and that's what's been such a wonderful, that's the wonderful reason why I chose to, you know, continue to train to become an Alexander technique teacher as well, because now I can incorporate it completely.
Right.
Yeah, and people come with all sorts of you know, physical holding patterns all the time, and the Alexander technique gives us both a way to really address that, really, you know, really spot on and really efficiently.
And it's probably worth going into ancient history a little bit here. Alexander himself, who was in fact a reciter.
Yes, he was.
A Shakespearean reciter back in Australia, back in the 19th century, back before there were PA systems. And in his case, he was giving his recitations in large auditoriums with often loud and rowdy audience members. It wasn't Carnegie
Hall.
It was
Australians.
Right. Australians, so whether, you know, tin miners in Tasmania and that sort of thing. His issue was that, of course, he wanted to get his voice to the back of the hall. But what would happen is that while he was very talented, he would lose his voice. He would start gasping for breath. He would become hoarse. And through a series of self-experiments over a period of time.
And a lot of observation.
And a lot of self-observation, mm-hmm. using mm-hmm. mirrors in his mm-hmm. case. That was the technology he had available. He made some really crucial discoveries about not just speaking, but human functioning in general. And, of course, the technique today is probably best known by people as something that can help people with back pain, for example, and stiff shoulders, that sort of thing, carpal tunnel syndrome, whatever. Mm-hmm. Also performers in general, musicians and dancers and singers. But its origins were from a vocal issue faced by a very amazing guy 120 years ago, maybe.
Yes.
So in that sense, you know, there is a long history of voice and Alexander, voice and the Alexander technique.
Yeah. And I mean, that's how it began. And in fact, all of the other benefits to the body, I think, were sort of like byproducts, were sort of aha moments, because he was originally the breathing chap. People came to him. Because, you know, they had vocal problems or they had breathing problems, and then other things started feeling better too.
Exactly. Yeah. When he got to England, he was in Australia. He became reasonably well known. Moved to London, and as you say, he was initially known as the breathing man. People would come to him because their breathing was restricted. They simply weren't functioning at their full efficiency, and he was very, very good at helping them. Now, I think it might be interesting for our listeners who are interested in improving their speaking voice. Mm-hmm. You, of course, are a kind of a combination vocal coach and Alexander teacher. Most Alexander teachers are not trained to be vocal coaches particularly, although I think it's also true that most Alexander teachers do work with speakers and singers.
Sure they do.
So if someone listening to this is somewhere other than Tacoma Park, Maryland, where you are, would you recommend they want to improve the quality of their voice, whether singing or speaking, would you have any hesitation in recommending an Alexander teacher who perhaps has no particular background in that area?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't hesitate to do that at all, because I think that there are some real fundamentals about the Alexander technique that address things like your breath, which is the start of everything. That's bedrock. Mm-hmm. For speaking. I think that a good Alexander technique teacher is able to really give you a spine. And, you know, having a spine is, I can't think of anything better to have in front of an audience than a spine.
Could you maybe elaborate on that a little bit? I mean, we do all have spines. When you say give someone a spine, could you explain a little bit what you mean by that?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know that the Alexander technique really addresses head-neck-torso relationship. And, of course, that is all about decompressing your spine, mm-hmm. right?
It's a large part of it, yeah.
It's a large part of it. It's not, you know, part and parcel of the whole thing. So really, I think as we practice Alexander technique, we really come into our backs. We come into our spine, and that gives us such a beautiful sense of buoyancy and lightness, you know, those things that we always experience with the Alexander technique, and ease.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something else there, because there's the real spine, and that I think also gives us our metaphorical spine, our backbone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I really think it does, because when your body, you know, loses its state of habitual tension, it wonderful things come out of it. Wonderful things happen, and we don't have time for, you know, our little scolding brain to go, oh no, you know, this is wrong. Oh no, you can't do this. You can't say this. You know, we've got a backbone that gives us so much support and presence.
So ideally, we want a spine that's strong and flexible.
Sure.
And yeah. Actually, it's interesting. I think a lot of people don't really think about this, but our ribs are all attached to our spine.
Yeah.
And if our spine is compressed or tight, it makes it tough for the ribs to move freely.
Exactly.
And that makes breathing tricky, and that creates all kinds of, it goes on and on.
There's a slippery slope, and you know, you can't breathe and you can't speak.
Right.
You can't speak to your fullest extent. So, you know, the adage of everything is connected. Yes, it is.
It absolutely.
Yep. You've got to look at the whole person when you're dealing with voice.
Well, and when you're dealing with, and just in general, I think when you're having Alexander lessons for any reason, it's very hard to miss that everything really is connected with everything else, because you're confronted with that reality in a very practical, observable way.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much right from the beginning of Alexander lessons. So whole body, the term whole body is bandied around a lot these days, or mind-body connection, whatever.
True.
But with the Alexander technique, you really get to experience that firsthand. So that's another nice benefit of lessons. So, Mary, is there anything we haven't touched on that you would like to add before we come to an end?
I'm speechless. How about that?
Wow.
you got me. I'm a voice teacher.
Speechless voice teacher.
I think we've sort of covered it. You know, we could take this into a much longer conversation, but I think this is good for you know?
Okay. Well, why don't we end on that note? My guest today has been Mary Naden, who's an Alexander teacher, a voice, speech, and presentation coach. And I think I forgot to mention earlier on, she teaches voice at the University of Maryland Theater Department and is a speech teacher at the Duke Ellington School of the Arts. Is that at the University of Maryland as well?
No. That's in Washington, D.C. And
okay.
Both of those are past jobs. I now have my own studio.
Okay, she has done those things,
yeah,
and now she
is. Yeah, I did
is
those for plenty of years,
studio.
And now I've got my own studio in Tacoma Park, which is just on the border of Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, real close to our nation's capital.
Right. So we'll put a link to Mary's website by the interview if you live in the D.C. area and you're intrigued by what we're talking about. You can contact her. And if you live anywhere else in the world, we'll put a link to a site where you can find a teacher in an Alexander Technique teacher in your area. Mary, thank you so much for being on the show.
Sure. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Robert.